If you have your Bibles, I want you to get them out, and I want you to turn to two passages of Scripture. If you're a smartphone or whatever, turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and Proverbs chapter 4. And if you haven't been here, you can go back online at hfchurch.com. Thank you, Travis, for putting those on. Give him a big hand clap. He's our tech guy. His nickname is TT around here, Techie Travis. And he helps getting our messages online on hfchurch.com and also on churchesaid.com. And appreciate all that he's doing, helping us get the word out about the messages on Sunday so you can stay caught up. But we're in a series called The Armor of God, and we're going through Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, and we're looking at every piece of the armor and what the armor of God does for us in our everyday life. And I can promise you, you're here by divine appointment. I believe every time you show up on Sunday morning, you're here by divine appointment. God wants to speak something to you through his word. And so we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And I'm going to start off by reading those first. And then we're going to get into about the breastplate of righteousness this morning. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, it says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness." Everybody say the breastplate of righteousness. In place. You want to have it in place. "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." And we're going to go down through this systematically in order that they appear, each piece of the armor that we need to be wearing. And today we're going to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. And here's the reason why. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart." Everybody say, "Guard your heart."
Guard your heart.
For everything you do flows from it. Everything flows out of your heart, not out of your mind, out of your heart, out of who you are spiritually. And going back to Ephesians chapter 6, what I just read, what guards our heart is the breastplate of righteousness. This, we're going to learn some awesome things that are going to help you in life today, because most people do not see themselves as righteous before God. They don't know their value. They don't know their worth. And I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt and the cap. I was very insecure, all those kind of things, because I didn't know how much my Father loved me. And when I received his love, perfect love casts out fear. And I no more insecurity, because I know I don't care what everybody says or thinks about me. I know I'm perfect in his eyes. I'm God's favorite. My dad always thinks, Dad and Sheldon spoke up real quick. Dad's always like, "No, I'm God's favorite." No, he's here first. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. That's true. I have no comeback on that one, Dad. Okay, you need to be quiet. Just kidding. All right, so we're going to have fun with this today, because I realized whenever I had an encounter with the Lord, and I've got proof of it because my grandma Christine, who never throws anything away on my mom's side of the family, never throws anything away, but she kept a bulletin that I wrote on in when I was a little bitty guy in the First Baptist Church here in Leedy. I mean, I've got it back here in my office. And I also have wrote in my children's Bible when I got saved. I was actually 9 years old when I had an encounter with the Lord at that time. And then I remember in my teenage years, I had an encounter with God. And then we got married when we were 22, August 22nd, 1992, and we were both 22. The deuces were wild that day, baby. We got married, that's what I always say. And we got married, and after we'd been married for a year, we started, we were thinking about starting a family and all these things, and we thought, Jada was raised in church, I was raised in church, and we thought, we need to get back in church. We want our children to grow up knowing who the Lord is, and that's what got us back in church, and thank God we did. But I can, and at the age of 23, her and I both got baptized again, and because we were starting this journey together. And now I believe that I was saved at the age of 9, but I wasn't living for the Lord, definitely. But I made that public confession of my faith in the Lord, I was saved. But it didn't take really till I started really following him when I was 23. And we're going to talk about that. But I can remember growing up in church and feeling like I needed to get saved every Sunday. Feeling condemned, not convicted, condemned, guilt trip, shame, that I'm not living right and I need to get my act together and blah, blah, blah. And so, it was like every Sunday I'm giving my heart to the Lord. Anybody else like that? And it's because I did not understand salvation. I didn't understand what we're going to talk about today, the breastplate of righteousness that goes along with that. And I can remember one of the, and I thought about this morning, I don't know why this story came to me, but I'll tell you one of my church stories growing up is there was one summer I went to Lake Lugert to their camp for the little, elementary. How many of you ever went to Lake Lugert to camp? Some of you around here, and Leedy did. I did. And during that time, I just went to have fun, and I know God ministered to me because that was around the time. But there was one, and I'm going to tell a funny, it's a funny story. At the time, it wasn't funny. But we were get everything packed, and we were coming home that particular day. That's when we were going to come back to Leedy. And we got everything packed and in the van. And the pastor here at the First Baptist Church at that time was Ron Argo. And so I'm outside. I get everything packed, and I got my clothes on that I'm going to go home in. And we decided we were starting to play chase as kids. We're playing chase. Well, we're chasing, this boy's chasing the girls. Hello. And so I'm chasing a couple of these girls, and I see them go around something, and I'm like, why did they go around that? It looks like grass. I did not know it at the time, but it was the sewer lagoon. But it had stuff over the top of it. And I thought, I'm going to cut them off. And I cut them off. I cut myself off. I ran into the sewer, and I swear, I came up. Before I got stopped in the sludge of it, I was up to here in sewer. Yeah, and I crawled out, and I'm this deep in it. And I get out, and I am just covered in this black. You can only imagine what it smelled like. And so I go back up there. They have to hose me off with a water hose. And I still remember this vividly. Ron Argo was ticked off. I saw a pastor mad. And so they have to unpack my bags, get them out so I can change clothes, and they take my clothes that I had on and put them in a black trash bag and zip them up and put them back in the van, and I still remember that. And I don't know why that came to me this morning. I was like, Lord, why did that story come to me? And the best thing that I can tell you is that's spiritually speaking, from that time until I was 23, that's kind of how my life was. I felt like I was living in a sewer. And I could never get clean enough to come to God, and that he was always mad at me because I always smelled like sewer. And that was the kind of the analogy that came out of that the Holy Spirit ministered to me through all of that. And that's why I just constantly felt like I had to get saved every Sunday. And when the pastor came around, I was like, oh my God, because he represented God to me, but he's going to kill me and because I smell like sewer. And so it just... But I did not know at that time, and it's taken me all these years to finally figure out what righteousness is. And righteousness is what guards your heart. If you don't know that you're righteous before God, then you're going to have insecurities in here. You're going to have fears in here. You're going to have jealousy, anger, all kinds, all this stuff that comes out of your heart is right here, and you got to guard that. And what guards your heart from all that coming in from the enemy like fiery arrows is knowing that you're righteous and knowing that you've got to put on that breastplate of righteousness every day, and that's what we're going to talk about today. All right, I want you to turn to Romans 4, verses 1 through 5. And this is, we're going to talk about what is righteousness first of all. And this is Romans 4, verses 1 through 5. It says, what then shall we say that Abraham, who's our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. Now there's a whole mouthful right there, but basically what that's saying is Abraham, the father of faith, when he believed in the Lord, God put righteousness into his account. Everybody got that? It was not because of his works, because you're not going to go to heaven, and basically the redneck language there is there ain't going to be no bragging in heaven, because none of your righteous works are going to get you into heaven. It's believing in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And because Abraham did that by faith, it was righteousness was put into his account. Now, if you're taking notes, which I encourage you to do, write down three things, because underneath this, what is righteousness? I want to talk about three kinds of righteousness. Two of them we try to live under, and that the enemy tries to get us to live under, and they're not from God. And the third one is what we all want to live under. But the first one is perfect righteousness. How many of you ever thought you had to be perfect in your walk with God? I have, and that's where the struggle's at. And the enemy knows that, and so he's constantly like, well, you're not perfect. You're not perfect. You're not, well, duh, no, I'm not. Never will be. But this, what I call perfect righteousness, and it's the reason why, because the enemy knows this, and he uses this against us. God's standard is not good, it's perfect. So no matter how good, I mean, you know, well, he was a good guy. No, it doesn't matter if you're a good guy. It matters if you, yeah, good. Being good is a good thing, but what matters is do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the bottom line. So God's standard is not good, it's perfect. And the only one that was perfect that ever lived here on this planet was Jesus, the Son of God. And this is, James 2:10 says this. I'm going to read it out of the Living Bible because I like what it says. It says, "And the person who keeps every law of God but makes one little slip is just as guilty as the person who has broken every law there is." How many slippers do we have in here this morning? Yeah, it's kind of like the death rate. It's 100% in here. Every one of us have slipped. Every one of us had. James 2:10 out of the New King James says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." So I need to settle this right up front as we walk through this morning. None of us are righteous, no, not one, is what the Bible says. There's no way you and I can ever live up to perfect righteousness, ever. That's why Jesus had to come. But the enemy uses that against you if you don't know that, because perfect righteousness discourages you. He knows, I can use that against you because it discourages you. So we're on to his ways this morning, amen? We're knowing how he works against us and how he gets us to take off the breastplate of righteousness. And when you open yourself up, when you're not wearing the breastplate of righteousness, this is where the enemy goes, is to your heart, because he knows he can take you out. You're vulnerable then. All right, here's the second thing that we do. It's what I call comparative righteousness. Comparative, when you compare yourself to other people. You compare yourself to others. Well, I'm better than they are. Yeah, they need to go get prayer. They're not as good as I am. Or you can flip the script and say, well, the reason, you know, I'm worse than they are. You know, beating yourself up. And this is, I love this. This always cracks me up. In John chapter 21, so you know the backdrop of this. This is after Peter had denied Jesus three times, right? We all know that story. A lot of us do. He denied Jesus three times. Jesus comes back. This is after the resurrection. He comes back and he gets with Peter. Do you love me? Peter's like, yes, Lord, love you. Does that three times. And basically, the Lord begins to tell him, because you're going to follow me now, because righteousness is taking its effect in you, you're going to start following me and doing what I'm asking you and being obedient, you're going to basically die the same way that I did. You can read this all in John chapter 21. And so Peter's hearing this, but John, and notice who wrote John. Who wrote the Gospel of John? John. John had to put it in there. John was this goody-two-shoe kind of guy, I promise you. If you want to know how John, I'm the good one. Peter's the bad one. I'm the good one. And so John writes this for us because Peter's walking along there and he's hearing this from the Lord. Well, I got reaccepted back from the Lord, but the Lord's already told me that I'm going to follow in the same footsteps that he did as I follow him. And so John, let's pick this up. So then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Guess who wrote that? Okay, John. John had some problems with his heart. God finally worked it out of him. Who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this guy? What about this John?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." And basically what Jesus was saying to him, quit comparing yourself to other people and what I'm doing in their lives. You listen to me and you follow me. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to follow him. You need to follow the Lord. So what? Perfect righteousness discourages you. Comparative righteousness deceives you. Because you, it's you that follows the Lord. You. Look at somebody and say, it's you. All right. Okay, here's number three. And this is where we want to get to today. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more. And I'm going to use this whiteboard to hopefully it'll come across so you'll understand this, because this was something I did not get a grasp of, and my dad and I have talked about this. I didn't get a grasp of it till later in life, and I wish I'd have got it really early on. But the third kind of righteousness is what we call imputed righteousness, I-M-P-U-T-E-D, imputed righteousness. And this was back in Romans 4:3, and I'm just going to read it. Is our scripture that our highlighted scripture today. It says, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, or imputed to him. It's an accounting term. He put it in Abraham's account because he believed in me. I gave him righteousness. So what this imputed righteousness is, when you receive it, it's one thing to know it, but you got to receive it into your heart. It's your breastplate of righteousness. It is right standing with God. That's what this is. That imputed righteousness puts you in right standing with God. You are righteous with God by your position. Listen to this, and you may want to write this down or tweet it or post it on Facebook. You are righteous with God by your position, not by your performance. I'm going to say that again. You're righteous with God by your position, not by your performance. When you trust Jesus as your personal Savior, the penalty of sin is removed and the gift of God's own righteousness is given or imputed to you into your account. It is credited to your spiritual account. The perfection and holiness of God himself has become yours in Christ. So perfect righteousness discourages you. Comparative righteousness deceives you. Imputed righteousness defines you and declares you innocent before all accusers, even the accuser of the brethren, which is Satan himself. Amen. So look at somebody and say, you are righteous. Now I want you to look at him again and say, I am righteous. All right. So we're looking at Abraham. And in Romans chapter 4, and I encourage you to read all that about Abraham. Abraham is our granddaddy, okay? He's our forefather. He was the one that got this all started because he believed and he followed the Lord. He's the father of the faith. Now, I want to ask you this, even if this was in the Old Testament, Abraham's in the Old Testament, did Abraham earn it, righteousness? No, he didn't. I'm hoping you're understanding that now. And a lot of times we put Abraham and all the people that we read about in the Bible, and we put them on this big pedestal, and that they were superhuman, super spiritual, and all this. Guys, they were not. They were just like you and I. Here we go, that comparative righteousness. In fact, sometimes I think they're worse than us. You know, if we're doing the comparative. And with Abraham, if you don't know his story, and I encourage you to go read his whole life, but there was not only once, guys, but twice he lied about his wife and basically said, she's my sister. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you go read the Bible, you go read this out for yourself, all right? But Abraham had a hot wife. He had a hottie. The Bible even says she was beautiful. And so whenever they came into different kingdoms, because basically God told him, if you know the story, God said, I want you to go and find who's, you know, builder and maker's God. And he's out there journeying in the wilderness and in the desert. And when they come into different kingdoms, you know, they come in hostile territory, you know, the king would say, what are you doing here? And he would lie and lied about his wife twice and said, she's my sister, you can take her for your wife. Now, once is enough, but he did it twice. Do you think Sarah had a talk with him after the first time? I think so too. But he did it twice. And I'm telling you that to let you know this, that Abraham was not righteous, was not a good guy. Everybody thinks he's this great guy. You know, how many of y'all have ever done that? Lied about your wife, say, oh, you can take her. She's just my sister. Yeah. Okay. I want you to know who we're dealing with this morning. Abraham. Don't put him on this pedestal and he's some super spiritual giant, because he wasn't. He's just like you and I. All he had to do was believe in the Lord Jesus, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Even when he lied about his wife twice, God still called him the father of the faith. God is good all the time. He's all the time good. Now, I've put up here on the board three boxes, and I'm going to try to explain this to you that so you can see it visually, because I know some of you are visual learners. So I'm going to start off with somebody that's bad, somebody that's good, and then somebody that's perfect. And so I want to start off with the person that's perfect. And so hopefully by now y'all got this, that's Jesus, right? Jesus is the perfect one. And he's full of this right here. He is full of capital R, righteousness. That's why he came. Now, I'm going to give a couple of people that are bad, and so I've got to come up with some names. And so I just thought I would come up with this name, because I know this guy before he got saved, and he was not good at all. And this is his name here. It was Mark. Me, yeah. And in here, somebody that's good that I know, and it's a she, and I'm hoping this gets me brownie points today, guys, is Jada. She's nothing but good. Nothing but good. In fact, Shelda came up here this morning and just confirmed it when she came up here for prayer and said, you're just so full of light and so good and so just got Jesus all over you. Yeah. But guys, I was full of what, and here's a code that we're going to use, okay? S is sin, and R is going to be righteousness or righteous. Righteous. So before I came to know the Lord, I was full of sin. Everybody getting the picture? I'm full of it. I was full of sin. In fact, I was so full of it, I could keep going here and put even some more in here for you. And up here and over here. I mean, it was bursting at the seams. I was full of it. Jada was good. She's always been good. I just believe that about my wife. She's always been good. Remember, I'm getting brownie points today. And she was full of righteous acts. She got saved when she was young, and she was just full of righteous acts. When her parents told her to do something, she did it immediately. She was full. Everybody getting it? She's full of righteous acts. That's all she did. She was just Miss Goody Two-Shoes her whole life, full of righteous acts. I was full of sin. So I'm bad, she's good, Jesus is righteous. But even though she's good, good don't get you into heaven. Amen? What gets you into heaven is believing in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's what gets you into heaven. And I want you to write this scripture down. It's Isaiah 64, verse 6, and I think I've got it up here because I want you to see this. It says, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, that's hard to say. Look at somebody say righteousnesses. That's plural. All your righteous acts, everything that your goody two-shoe, everything good that you've ever done in God's presence are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So we can say this R not only stands for righteous. From the word, Isaiah 64, 6, we see that righteousness, all of our righteousnesses are like rags before God. So yeah, we all fall short. Everybody's sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So Jada, that's even though she was doing good things, that's still rags. That stands for rags. Everybody got it? Before God. I had a few righteous things in here. I went to church some and went to camp once, like I told you. So there's a few righteous things in there. So guys, that's what's going on in our lives. And people are over here in this camp and they think, well, I'm a sinner and, you know, God don't love me and God's mad at me. And then people over here are like, well, I'm good. I'm doing all these righteous things, so God loves me. And bottom line is, God loves us all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. God loves every one of us just the same. And it's not good people that go to heaven. It's people that believe in Jesus. All right, I hope you're getting this. We're going to take this a step further. So what did Abraham have to do to get righteousness? How did he get it? Because I want to know. How many of you want to know how he got it? All right, good. One more scripture. John 6, actually there's going to be several more scriptures if you know me. John 6, verses 28 through 29 says, "Then they said to him," to Jesus, "what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So how he got it is he believed. Amen. He believed. That's how he got right. It wasn't anything in his works that he did. He believed, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. Did you know that, here's the deal. When I was talking to you over here about me full of the S's, full of sin, did you know that people don't go to hell because of sin? Right. Listen to me. I'm going to smoke a cow, like Mark Shell says. People go to hell because they don't believe in Jesus. Because every one of us in here are sinners, saved by grace. Thank God for that. All right, so now I'm going to flip the script here. Thank God we got a whiteboard that'll flip. Isn't that awesome? I just love my whiteboard. All right, so here we got me again. We've got Jada again. I even threw in Abraham since that's who we're studying today. Here's you, and here's Jesus, okay? So Jesus, what we already determined, he's full of righteousness, right? He's the Son of God. He never sinned. He lived a sinless life. Here we are. We're full of sin. Every one of us in this building are today. Everybody that's listening and watching, listening by radio or watching on Church's Aid. So that's what we're all full of. Now, I want to show you, then the cross came. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, right? Now, I really want to, man, this is so good, guys, and I hope you get it. And I'm trying to get this visually explained to you so that we can really see this instead of just telling you. Is the cross, this is the power of the cross. The cross took something away from us. The blood of Jesus washes away all of our sins. It takes away all of this. But here's the great exchange that happened. I forgot to put the S on you. Now I'm going to erase it again. You and I both were full of sin. But this is what happened. The cross didn't take just something away from us. It actually gave us something that's miraculous. Jesus took all of our sin upon himself. So he took all of our S, all of our sin upon himself, and he gave us his righteousness. As a gift. Everybody seeing that? And that's your breastplate, guys. And you've got to wear it every day. And you got to wear it proud every day. So the cross didn't just take something from us. It gave something miraculous to us. It gave us his righteousness. And I want to show you the scripture that backs this up. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Yeah. So that ought to cast out every fear that you've ever had, because you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to take this one step further for all of us in here. All right, I'm through with the whiteboard now. And we're going to close with this today. Because we've declared that righteousness is a gift given to us by God, right? Everybody got that? All right, so here's the deal. The armor of God is something you got to put on. Look at somebody and say, you got to put it on. Something you got to put it on. And Paul talks about this early. We read Ephesians 6, but earlier in Ephesians, he told them, he said, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. So let me explain it to us. Righteousness is already in you. Look at somebody and say, it's already in you. It's already in you. But now it needs to be on you. And now it needs to come upon you. That breastplate of righteousness. It's in you, but it needs to come upon you. And how many of you ever heard the word practice makes perfect? All right, we're going to, and this is what the enemy tries to keep us doing all of our lives. Well, you need to practice. You need to practice more, and then you'll be perfect. You need to practice more, and then you'll be perfect. And we're going to flip the script on him this morning, and I'm going to tell you, you're already perfect in Christ. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're already perfect in Christ, and perfect makes practice. That's flipping the script on the Lord, and let me, or on the enemy, and let me tell you, let me explain that to you. This is what I call, and I'm going to go ahead and write it up there, because we've got this imputed righteousness given to us by God. There's the word imputed righteousness that we're learning that is an awesome gift from God, and we're in Thanksgiving month, and I'm so thankful for his righteousness that he gave to me. Amen? But there's also what I call practical righteousness. Practical. And this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about in Ephesians 4. That every day I've got to get up and put off the old man and put on the new man. Because there's going to be, the enemy's going to tempt me to go back and act like the old man. But I'm a new creation in Christ. But perfect makes practice. It comes from in here and comes out. Now let me say it this way. This is what I'm trying to explain to you is a deep theological thing this morning. I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. Because you've all heard the debate about grace and works, right? We're saved by grace and not by works. But when you come to faith in Christ, you can show people your faith by your works. Amen. Now, so you think, well, is that an oxymoron? No, it's not. Let me try to say it this way, and this is the best way I can describe it to you. I do right things. I do practical righteousness because I am righteous in Christ. Not this, not this. This is why a lot of, so what the enemy tries to do is flip that script on you, and he says, you're not righteous because you don't do right things. Okay, I'm not righteous, here I'm going to say it this way, I'm not righteous in Christ because I do right things. I do right things because I'm righteous in Christ. Amen. That's the bottom line. If you want my sermon in a sentence today, that's it. I'm not righteous in Christ because I do right things. I do right things because I'm righteous in Christ. Because I fell in love with him, and all I want to do is please him and live righteously before him. And guys, I'm going to tell you, this, understanding this, this imputed righteousness and this practical righteousness, this right here is what guards your heart. Because out of it flow all the issues of life. This, when you understand this in here, and you're doing this right here, but you don't have it backwards. You're doing it in the correct way. You've got the breastplate of righteousness on. Amen. And no fiery dart from the pit of hell is ever going to take you down. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Did that help somebody today? Amen. I know it helped me. And I'm still getting it, guys. I still, every day, God will have to remind me, Mark, those days that I get up and I just think, man, I'm a sorry God. You know, I'm not worth anything. And just beat yourself up and devalue yourself. How many people in here beat yourself up? Okay. The time that no more. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And you've got to take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And that's part of the practical righteousness is doing those things, taking those thoughts captive. Everybody said amen. Amen. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning, and I want to lead you in a prayer today, and it's a prayer of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just like Abraham did, just like I did. The Bible says how we do it in Romans chapter 10. It says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And every one of us in here are whosoever's. And it's very simple, and I'm going to lead you in this prayer. And even if you are saved and you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. I want everybody to stand up in here this morning, and I want to pray over you and release this all this morning, but I'm also going to speak a blessing over you. I pray this helped you. This helped you today? Amen. Okay. Revelation brings power. I know that. Brings that knowledge that we need. But I want to pray over you today, okay? Father, I thank you, God, that we have learned a strategy of the enemy to keep us from wearing our breastplate of righteousness today whenever he brings those lies and tries us to live in that perfect righteousness or that comparative righteousness. And God, we learn today through your word that righteousness has been imputed to us by what Jesus did at the cross, and that we are righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that, God, we did not earn it. God, Jesus bought that for us with his very own life. And so, God, I thank you for that. All we have to do is believe upon the name of Jesus, and that righteousness goes into our account. But, God, I thank you that righteousness is in us today because we are believers. And, God, I thank you that righteousness is going to come out upon us today because we realized that perfect is what makes practice. And, God, we're going to obey you just like Abraham did, and we're going to follow you just like Peter did, like Abraham did. And we're going to do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. And it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live a righteous life. And God, we do right things because we are righteous in Christ. I'm not righteous in Christ because I do right things. And so, Father, I thank you for that revelation today. And Father, I thank you that because of this, you're right now, people are being suited up in the armor of God, and that breastplate of righteousness is being attached to the belt of truth, and this is what is guarding our hearts today. And Father, we're going to go out of here, and when we hear those lies from the enemy, we're going to make sure that our breastplate of righteousness is on by casting down those imaginations and those thoughts. And so, Father, I thank you that everyone's leaving out of here today with their breastplate of righteousness on, and their heart is guarded in Jesus' name, and they know that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just want to speak a blessing over your people today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a blessed week. Be sure and come out if you can tonight at 6 o'clock. For the shoe packing party. We're going to have a good time here. Love you guys. Have a blessed week.